This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome to the Full Blast Podcast. I'm Jeff Fader. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. I want to get to, we got a lot to cover, but in the meantime, let's take care of a little business first. First things first, I want to thank my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks. I just got off the phone with Ben Seacrest, who works at Broadbeck, and I saw the main man, Ryan Broadbeck, at Maker Camp this past weekend. They're fantastic. The customer service is unbelievable, backed up by a great product. I love the Broadbeck Ironworks grinder, and I've been using one for years, and there was a couple little things, and Ben was on the phone with me trying to kind of like diagnosing it, and you cannot get better customer service than the customer service for my sponsors. We've had companies that give terrible customer service, and we just cut them loose. Broadbeck's unbelievable. Their grinders are unbelievable. And if you go to broadbeckironworks.com and you put in the promo code KnifeTalk10, you're going to get 10% off everything. The grinders, attachments, parts, all that stuff. So definitely take advantage of that opportunity. If you're looking to get into a grinder or attachments, they have tons of attachments and parts and accessories. And then they also have the parts and maintenance to make sure that you're going down the road of righteousness with the Broadbeck grinder, okay? Next are my friends at Even Heat. I saw Spence this weekend. I had a great conversation with Spence. Spence at Even Heat, they're the best. And if the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available, go to evenheat-kiln.com, check it out. Get that tap control, get that solid state drive, stop playing. And I was talking to him, and I said, you know what would be funny? Is if you had a t-shirt made with the slug line I've been doing, if you got to get it hard, you got to use an Even Heat. We'll see. I make all these crazy jokes, and you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, but that's okay. However, there ain't nothing better than Even Heat. I mean, all my knives are used. I use the Even Heat for hardening, for tempering, all the heat treatment, on normalizing, all that stuff, and I can dial it in exactly where I need it. So that's where you need to go to. If you're using exotic steels, if you're using stainless, if you're using Damascus, whatever you're using, hammers, glass, all that stuff, you gotta choose it. Get yourself a good kiln. Go to evenheat-kiln.com. You won't regret it, and they work for a long time. They work forever. I've had one, the LB series, LB 18. I've had it forever, and I've never had to fix one part. They helped me with a computer issue, but they took care of that. Once again, great customer service. So, I mean, that's the name of the game. This day and age, good customer service is value. I think we need to kind of start to think about that. And Even Heat's got great customer service. Speaking of great customer service, I just got reached out by Lawrence Lake over Maritime Knife Supply. He wanted to know how Maker Camp was. Sorry he couldn't be there. Lawrence Lake is very involved in all the organizations and the business. I heard great things about Can Iron. He's always at Blade Show. He's involved with the New England School of Metalwork. He's involved with CMA. He's involved for you. For all your knife making needs, belts, abrasives, steels, kilns, forge press, heat treating gums, all that stuff. They're in Canada, and they have their website squared away for American buyers and then Canadian buyers. And if you're a Canadian buyer, you've got to use Maritime Knife Supply. You're an American buyer, use Maritime Knife Supply, and he'll get you squared away. I'm a huge fan of Lawrence Lake, and he's invested in this community, and he's a knife maker. So that's good enough for you. That's it. He is not a poser, or as my father used to say, a poseur. I used to love it when he would refer to someone as a poseur, and then my friends would say poser, and I was like, no, it's poseur. So obnoxious. Next things are my friends at Trojan Horse Forge. Trojan Horse Forge are the makers of the Stabroel knife finishing vise, and it's great, and they're great, and they also teach classes, and they have the T4 Sentinel oil. And if you go to TrojanHorseForge.com, put in the promo code FULLBLAST10, you get 10% off. I believe there's still free shipping. You're going to have to check with them. I am totally on board with Trojan Horse Forge. They're good dudes. I love my Stabroel knife finishing vise. I wish I had it this past weekend. Couldn't bring one more thing. We'll get into it later. Next are my friends at Baker Forge, bakerforge.com, Baker Forge and Tool on Instagram. And these guys are great. And actually, I sold a Baker Forge little shop knife this weekend. I was super pumped about it. And everyone was asking about it. What? How did you do that? What did you do that? I said, I didn't do it. They made the material. They made the copper mai, the bronze mai, the sand mai, all that stuff. All the stainless Damascus they're making. It's unbelievable. And it's consistent, and it's good, and it's great. It's easy to work with. And then they teach you how to cut, get it ready. They teach you how to heat treat it, teach you how to etch it. And when they tell you to etch it, they tell you you're going to use that gator piss. You know what I'm saying? G-A-T-O-R-P-I-S-S. Gator short for alligator. Piss is short for urine. They got three types of gator piss. They got the OG gator piss. They got the Gator Piss Max. They got the Gator Piss Heavy. The Gator Piss Max for the stainless Damascus, so you don't have to get that warm muriatic acid in your shop. And then the Gator Piss Heavy is for that extra special dark for the large amounts. So definitely get yourself involved with them. And you can also buy the Gator Piss at Texas Farrier Supply. And when you go to Texas Farrier Supply, when you buy all your sandpaper, all your farrier needs, your blacksmithing needs, belt, all that stuff, belts and braces, or knife-making adjacent stuff, they have all that too. You go to TexasFarrierSupply.com, put in the promo code KnifeTalk10, you can get 10% off everything. And back to my guys over at Baker Forge, you can go to Baker Forge and buy whatever you want there, put in the promo code FULLBLAST, you get it at 10% off. And they have a new product that they're saying I can talk about. It's called the Grime Reaper. This is awesome. This is one of those things that, you know, you have the material, you have the etchant, but what do you do to clean the material off? Some people have been using brake cleaner, which I did not know about. And I don't know, man. I don't know if I would want something to be that. I'm trying to stay away from so much acids and compounds and chemicals and stuff. Well, they did it. They did it. They made something called the Grime Reaper. It smells like orange. It is, the powerhouse is engineered to blast away grime, oil, build up and all that without leaving a single trace of residue. There's no harsh chemicals and, like brake cleaner, and their products will change, give it a spin for your next test, test it out on a tough job, spoiler, you'll love it. We'd be spooked if you, all right. So it's, I mean, it's 50 state compliant in regards to, the chemicals and stuff like that. It melts grease and grime, leaves no residue, price economically. You can, it'll be available in cases and cans, international sales in fall 2025. Smells wonderful. I got to say, it does smell wonderful. So what you do is you spray it on liberally, and then you scrub the blade of the cloth or paper towel to lift off that grease and grime. And for extra dirt, dirty blades, repeat until the cloth stays clean, no matter, and no more black smudges with a lift from the blade. And then you etch and etch the dry blade and gator piss. You hear that? You hear that? The Grime Reaper. I mean, these guys, toying the guys, they know what they're doing. Don't worry about that. Go get yourself some of that Grime Reaper at Baker Forge and get yourself some gator piss, Texas Ferry Supply, get your Baker Forge deal at Baker Forge too. All right. Next, my friends at Total Boat. I had such a good time this weekend Baker Camp, hanging out with the Total Boat people, and we had a great time. And I'll talk about a little bit about that. It was quite an experience. I did my first Total Boat demo, and they were very impressed with your boy. Your hero did a good job. I didn't flub it at all. Your hero didn't fuck up at all. I exceeded expectations. I got a good review. I got a good grade, ladies and germs. I'm not some flea bag sitting in a car all the time. I have some gravitas. You know what I'm saying? Fucking gravitas. Hey, if you need some adhesive paints, primers, polishing compounds, you got to go to totalboat.com/fullblast. That's the link that's going to get you all squared away with their high performance two-part epoxy. That's the link that's going to get you that sexy ass. See, now I'm arrogant with Total Boat. Now I'm off the rails. You get that sexy ass. They got three different flavors of CA glue. They got thin, medium, and thick, baby. I'm gonna lose it all. I'm legitimately going to lose everything. I'm gonna lose all my goodwill with Total Boat in this commercial break. Definitely get yourself some of that Fathom, baby, for them deep blue. You know what I'm saying? They have all the colors. They got the sparkles. They got whatever you need. Don't play, ladies and germs. Go get yourself totalboat.com/fullblast. And I was under the impression that they said they're going to start listening to this podcast now that they know that I'm serious. But just remember this, Total Boat crew. All you Total Boat people listening to this, I'm just playing around. This is how I'm going to get the products to move. You know what I mean? So get yourself some of that thick-ass CA glue at the very least. I mean, I have lost my mind. I might be there's a very good chance that I might be very self-destructive. I might be self-destructive. This might be, I did a good thing. I did a good job. They're happy. I got a message. The CEO is happy. That everybody's happy. And then I got to do this. I'm all in with the totem pole people. They got to know what they're getting into when they get in a situation with me. You know what I'm saying? Definitely get yourself some totem pole, baby. Totemboat.com/fullblast gets you that special. And also gives you the deal. And it gives me the street cred. But I mean, they've seen the street cred. But you need to help me out too, ladies and germs. You got to bail me out. You got to help me because I got that foot stuck in my mouth, fooling around. Chocolate shoes, ladies and germs. Seriously, we'll talk about Total Boat later. I'm with them and they know that. Next are my friends at GL Hansen & Sons. That's at g.l._Hansen & Sons on Instagram. And then if you want to buy that G Carta, that beautiful, unique composite of natural fibers and fabrics mixed with epoxy under pressure, you got to go to gcarta.bigcartel.com. Get yourself some of the Bofides. That's not Bofides. I'm really off the rails. Get yourself some Ripple Cut, Tuxini, Mahi Mahi, Radiorm G Carta. You get that Pheasant, Colorama, Hoopla. And you're saying to me, what are all these words that you're saying? You're stringing them all together. Well, I'm really gone off this in 11 minutes. Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the G Carta is great, and you get yourself some scales with some Razzle Dazzle. It's basically like very highly colorful and special cross-cut G Carta, okay? So definitely go to gcarta.bigcartel.com and stop playing. Next are my friends at Tormek, celebrating 50 years of being in business with the Black TA sharpening system, plus. I owe Carl Friends, my guy who's been on the podcast twice, and I owe him a phone call because he wants to figure something out. We got some things cooking over Tormek. They sent me a nice sign that I get to hang over my sharpening station. I love the Tormek. I love everything about him. I love the people. Once again, great customer service. Ain't got much better than Tormek. Go to Tormek_sharpening on Instagram. See what the fuss is about. Go to Tormek.com. Get yourself a Tormek, ladies and germs. And, you know, like I said, everybody listens to this podcast and they're listening to all my ad reads and they're thinking to themselves, I want all that, but I don't know how to use it. You know what I would do if you're in Australia? Go to Nordic Edge. NordicEdge.com not only sells great knife supplies, blacksmithing supplies, bladesmithing supplies, however you identify. They also teach classes. So if you're in Australia, you can learn from the best. Sausage Man Forge, Bjorn, Mert Tansu's involved. That's good enough for you. It's good enough for me. And their file guides are the best. So definitely go over to NordicEdge.com.au because they got the guidance to help you accelerate your creativity and the tools, products, and supplies to help you manifest your ideas. Bjorn, that one, I made that one up, but you can have it. That's a good t-shirt, too. That's a little wordy. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out, Bjorn. Don't worry about that. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank my friends at Phoenix Abrasives, phoenixabrasives.com. They're the suppliers of superior abrasive products for every application, for knife making, metal fabrication, glass fabrication, floor sanding, and you know what? Crankshaft, baby. Get that crankshaft all belted up. Belts, grinding, cutting disc, lap disc, surface conditioning stuff. And when you buy, I just got a load. They just sent me I just bought a pile and they gave me, I used this discount when I went to Nordic Edge. I had this discount, FB10, and it gave me 10% off. I had a little bit of a better discount because, you know, they are, you know, they're a great sponsor. They hooked your boy up. But I definitely love what they, I got some 220 J-Flex belts. I got some X-Weight belts. I got a little Scotch-Brite situation. And they took care of it fast, real fast. So definitely go get yourself squared away at phoenixabrasives.com. Put in the FB10. And I'm just fooling around, ladies and germs. You know I love my sponsors. And you know no one's ever given it to me. You know why? Because I'm moving product, ladies and gentlemen. I heard about it. I heard it from a few people. But we're moving product. But I just kind of wanted to do a little catch up. I know things have been a little bit like hectic in my life, and I wanted to give a little catch up in the last few, you know, a month or so, just without any guests and just you and me. And I'm gonna fuck around because I have been elevated, and my arrogance is just one, two clicks up. You know what I'm saying? My arrogance was two clicks below, and then I heard a few things, and then the confidence and the arrogance is two clicks up. So we're going to get to it. But first things first is I just want to thank all the people who have been reaching out to me. I can't believe it. Actually, there's so many people listen to Knife Talk and Full Blast Podcast. I see them as kind of like siblings. I feel very strongly involved in both of them. I'm constantly getting messages from people, especially this past week in a Maker Camp, about people just listening to Full Blast Podcast and thanking me because, you know, listen, I know what a podcast is, and I'm gonna be a little bit respectfully to my peers in the makerspace, podcast space. You don't understand what your direction is. You got to understand that the key is you got to make people feel comfortable, and you got to make your audience, like, you got to hold on to their attention. Some of you guys aren't doing that. I've heard. This is for podcasters adjacent, for people in the maker community who have these Fakakta podcasts. This is your wake up call. I am your virtual program manager. You've got to figure out a better way to do it, because I have listened, now that I'm doing all this fucking running, I'm the one who has to listen to some of your podcasts, and I cannot make it through an episode. You got it? You got to tune it up. This isn't about you. This is about the listener, right? As I'm throwing myself around. Hilarious. But honestly, back to reality here. I had a lot of nice messages from people, and between the Center for Mental, being at the Center for Mental Arts and being at Maker Camp, a lot of people are listening to Knife Talk in Full Blast. And on behalf of the boys over at Knife Talk and me over here, I want to thank you very much. I heard some real nice messages, and we're going to talk about that too. Well, what I'm surprised about the most of is how much the episode Remembering My Sister I have been getting, you know, really, really shocked at how many people have been listening to that. And funny enough, you know, when I do these episodes, in my mind, I don't think anyone's actually listening. Like, that's the mindset. It's just like, I'm not, you know, you don't stand in front of a stage and you're not looking at people. You're just, I'm sitting in my, you know, my sister's car now. That's my new thing. I'm in her, she gifted to my daughter before she died. And you're just like, you know, trying to make something happen, you know. But I was amazed at how many people reached out to me about Remembering My Sister Jenny, which was an episode I did about a month ago, because my sister died a little over a month ago. And, you know, it was really, I'm amazed how many people listened. And I'm amazed who reached out, including Jenny's wife, which, Jill, I never want to censor myself or kind of say something where I don't want to be like everybody else. So I want to say something, but I'm not just like, this isn't about, it's just, I might be a little bit more jocular than some people can handle, you know, especially like family. Like sometimes in my mind, I'm thinking like, don't worry, my family won't listen to this. They've had enough of me. And then all of a sudden my family will listen and be like, oh my God, I said some horrendous things. I hope they're not, like, you know, upset. So actually I got a message from Jill a few weeks ago, and all the text was I listened to your podcast. It was fantastic. It made me laugh and it made me cry a lot. And I loved it. So I gave her a call, and she just was like, you know, she was like, she was blown away. And then she said, 11 minutes of advertisement? What are you doing? And I'm like, Jill, what do you think I'm doing? You think I'm in the basement for nothing? I mean, this is a business too. But it was funny. She was just like, oh yeah, it was so great. It was like, 11 minutes of ads. Jesus Christ. What am I going to fucking sit through that? And I explained, listen, you can fast forward it. So yeah, so I got a lot of messages, and then actually at Maker Camp, a few people came up to me, and I'm getting, like, you know, people were giving me condolences, but then people listened to the podcast and they were really kind of like taken aback. So I just want to thank everybody about that. That was pretty surprising and very nice. You touched my cold, cold black heart. I know what this podcast means. My opinion about this and Knife Talk isn't, especially Knife Talk, this is not like grab your pencil and paper and write, take down notes while you're listening to it. This isn't a lecture. I'm not trying to lecture you. I'm trying to keep you company. And you'll even know if you listen to Knife Talk that if it gets a little bit too technical, I'll throw in some very...
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Very frivolous and tasteless joke. You know, so if you're getting all highbrow for a while, if you're listening to Knife Talk and you're thinking, man, this is getting very highbrow, know that I have a timer and then something completely tasteless and jocular will be said at some moment. That I can promise you. And then this too, I know that this is for, you know, keeping people company, and podcasting is great because it really, I've always felt when I would listen to the radio, especially, I love Sirius XM, or I listen to Howard Stern, or when I was listening to Opie and Anthony, or was listening to other things, or when I was listening to podcasts, it was really like the time machine. And I feel very strongly about that it needs to be the time machine where you're listening and you're so compelled, or you're doing something while you're listening, and then all of a sudden it just kind of the time drifts past. So I want to just thank everybody for that, but I really want to talk about, kind of catch up with everything and just say how crazy it's been for the past, I would say, well, four months ago is when I decided to do the New York City Marathon. I got accepted, and I've been running since, and we're going to do a little bit of the good and the bad of how training's going, and then we're going to fool around with that. But while I was training, when I was training for the marathon is when I found out my sister was going to die, and then I actually did one of my training race runs down when I visited my sister. And throughout this whole, you know, the whole training, I always knew that there's a very good chance after her prognosis that while I was training, I mean, she was not going to be around, and I just, you know, wasn't going to be around to see me do the marathon or even give her a call or something like that. So that was kind of difficult. And then the interesting thing is, it's been real tough. It's been real tough. And, but at the same time, we're choosing to, once again, we're choosing to be grateful for the time we had. And actually, I want to get into Jenny a little bit later because I saw my sister this past weekend, my other sister, Carrie. So it's been a lot. The training's been a lot. And I have, you know, they're the two big weekends before the two big run weekends were 2 weekends ago when I went to the Center for Mental Arts, and then this past weekend when I went to the Maker Camp. And Center for Mental Arts, once again, Pat was on last week. And by the way, I wanted to mention that the difference, you know, Knife Talk's great and Full Blast is great. They're totally different podcasts. And the reason why they're totally different podcasts is I see Knife Talk as like a radio show, like a kind of a morning zoo type radio show, where there are three characters and you don't have to know so many. There are a lot of like kind of behind the scenes jokes and inside jokes, but you don't really have to know them. But it's three distinct voices and we're all answering questions and we're all doing our thing. And Knife Talk is Full Blast is meant to be kind of more of a long form, just kind of like conversation, or, you know, I guess I've kind of stopped calling them interviews just because I feel as though that there's this when you hear about an interview, part of you starts to think that it's going to be more of like an interrogation, and I kind of would prefer it not to be. And what I've done is I've tried to make a Full Blast, which is different than Knife Talk, very episodic. So a lot of times when I have a guest come on, I'll usually say right before the show or the night before the show or something like that, or the recording at least, I will say, you know, this is your show too. And I want you to be able to, whatever you want to talk about. You know, a lot of times I know these people, or maybe if someone had, you know, I have some type of relationship with them. It's I've talked to them at least on the phone or something. So I feel very strongly about making sure that my guests feel like it's their show too, because with Full Blast, you know, maybe somebody wants to show something they can be proud of that they can show to their family. And that's been something really huge for this show, and to the point where, you know, the Pat Quinn shows, Great Question with Pat Quinn, have been so informative and so interesting that I've really made it to the point where if you go into the archives, you can just tell who's where. You know, I put the name of the person in, and then even with the Pat Quinn episodes, there's 12 Great Question with Pat Quinn. In there's even before we started doing Great Question with Pat Quinn, there were solo interviews with him that was really interesting, and you can just listen to those. And a lot of people just, you know, I get messages, certain people like, you know, some episodes and their favorite guests. One guy says, I only like the ones with Ben Snore. And another guy says, I only like the ones with Ben Kimmon. And I like the ones when you have Pat Quinn and so on and so forth. So you can really kind of pick and choose what you want to listen to. And I like the diversity of it all. The Pat Quinn episodes are amazing. And every time, and I'm not just saying this because he comes on here, but every time I'm down in the Center for Mental Arts, I'm fired up for the future of blacksmithing and forging education. I think that what he's doing is extraordinary. And when people come down after I've been browbeating them for years to come to take a class, when they get down there, they never regret it because it's like pretty incredible what he's done down there and what they've all done. And the classes are extraordinary. And the people who take the classes generally take more than one. I see a lot of familiar faces that keep going back, and they're, you know, they're believers, and they know that, you know, this is an opportunity to not just buy, you know, you can buy a tool, you can learn, you know, you can learn something on Instagram, on Facebook, or, you know, YouTube, and you can learn a trick, but you'll never get like the philosophical end of the real world teaching unless you go to the Center for Mental Arts. So we had a great time. It is fun. I feel very lucky that I'm able to kind of like watch him grow and watch the place grow and talk to him and compare and contrast. I kind of feel like I'm a bit of an art nerd in this situation, that I can actually kind of see the progression of the work that's been going on down there and his philosophy down there. And, you know, it's just really, really special. That drive down there is brutal. But only because it's like Pennsylvania. Driving from New York to Pennsylvania, it's 5 hours. It's not that big of a deal. I kind of make more of it than it is. It's just, you know, I wish I was closer. If I was closer, I'd be down there more. I know I really want to go to the conference one year. And it's just like there is so much going on in my life with the business and with my family and with everything that it's just like hard to peel myself away for anything. Had a great time down there. Shout out to Coda. Coda, that's Jeff and his son Luke. They were down at the class. That was really, really cool. They were really neat people. And the father and son taking a knife making class. That was a lot of fun. And once again, it's going to be great. Now, I'm going to be down there for 2026. I'm going to be down there once. I'm not doing two classes this year. I'm going to do one class next year. So it's going to be in November. So if you want to take the Friction Folder class, you're going to have to get on that newsletter over at CMA. You're going to have to get yourself squared away because it's going to be 1 week. 1 week. They've got new programming going in, and they're going to be having long-term programming, and it's going to be really special down there. And I think it's great. And I'm looking forward to being back in there in November 2026. So if you want to take it, don't sleep, ladies and germs. These classes, you know, this ain't the subway, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no train coming back the next 10 minutes. You got to wait, dog. You know what I'm saying? But that was amazing. And, It was amazing. And then I came back to New York and, worked in the shop and got ready because the next weekend was Maker Camp. So that was this past weekend. We had Maker Camp. Maker Camp is in East Durham, New York, also known as the Irish Alps. It's located like a mile or two from where Jimmy DiResta lives, if you know Jimmy DiResta. He is an awesome guy, and Maker Camp was kind of like a brainchild of him and Austin Handel, who is the son of the family that owns the Blackthorn Resort. It was based off of coming to see us, the maker, the Modern Forge guys, me, Cliff Dufton, John Ariani, Jesse and Carrie Savage, where we did a forging event at Maker Faire, which was in Queens, New York. I think that was 2018. I'm not 100% sure, but it was such a, it was a massive, event that we just like blew the doors off. We got like seven blue ribbons for the judges, blue ribbons of people who were really into what we were doing, for doing forging. It was amazing. So Maker Camp is this great place. They have housing. You can sleep in a tent. You can sleep in a cottage. You can sleep in a bungalow. And then they have food on campus or on the, and the, on the, on the, they have food and beverage. And ladies and gentlemen, we saw some beverage. They were serving beverages in quart containers. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? People walking around with quart containers with tops, and the tops had a straw in it. And people walking around with some wild drinks. One dude, our man Echo was walking around with, I came over to him. I was like, man, what is that drink? He got a quart container. I thought he was drinking a screwdriver. Turned out to be Southern Comfort and pineapple juice. A quart container of Southern Comfort and pineapple juice is going to put you, in the ground. I don't know how he stand it, frankly. That was unbelievable. And people were having drinks and laughs. And not me, ladies and germs. I can't do it. I'm too old and I cannot handle the hangovers. My drinking has drastically changed and it has nothing to do with anything other than I cannot handle even the slightest. If I've had too much salt during the day or I have too much salt in the dinner, the next morning I feel like I've got hit by a Mack truck. I'm fucking weak. I'm 51 and it's just not getting easier. So I'm cutting certain things out. And now it's just like, I'll have a beer or two, but that's about it. I can't make it happen. And then also when I'm forging, I don't fuck around with any of that. I don't believe in that shit. I'm too afraid. I'm too afraid of hurting myself. So we get to the Blackthorn Resort, and then I had a nice message. I've been friendly with Kristen from Total Boat, and we were talking for the past few months about doing a demo because I've been using Total Boat for all the knife scales and for the knife handles and for all the gluing and all that stuff for a long time. And I said, you know, I'll do a demo on how I made some hybrid handle material using the Fathom, and then I'll talk about using all the products. So I do use the products. That's the thing. It's like, you know, there's something weird going on with a lot of these influencers and are taking the goods and walking away. You know what I'm saying? This influencer life of like feeling almost as if you're deserved of some sort of, you get product or you get money or something like that or specialties things and you're not in a partnership. And I've always felt like when I'm in with all the sponsors I have, I feel like it's a partnership to the point now where there are people who, you know, I'm not nickel and diming people on ads. Like if it runs over, it runs over. I'm not gonna, don't worry about it. We're in this for the long run. So Total Boat asked me to do a thing and it was great. And we had a great time. And I got to I refer to myself as the Christopher Columbus of knife makers using Total Boat, which is hilarious and obnoxious, but fine. You know how I do? So I showed them how I made the Fathom Thickset handle hybrid material, and then I showed them how I make a handle, I put scales together, and I drill them and put them all together, and then the next day I did it. So we had a great time, and people were asking knife-making questions, and it wasn't just like, you know, about the adhesives, and I was talking about the adhesives that I like to use, and I was just talking, and then it was like Knife Talk Junior. They started asking all these knife-making questions, which was fun, and it made it a little bit less like a lecture and more like, you know, I think that people who, especially, I was calling them on Knife Talk, I was calling non-knife makers civilians because they don't really have an idea of how knives are made and stuff like that. So you don't want to start using, you know, the vernacular that knife makers use. So we're answering questions and we were having, you know, conversation and they were asking, and it kept them in the Total Boat tent and it was good. They were happy. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking out in the audience. I'm trying not to make eye contact with people, and I'll tell you why. I feel as though I'm going to start thinking, and if I'm talking and I start thinking, then that's going to be a problem. So I thought I'm going to have a problem, and then all of a sudden, I look out, and there's my sister Carrie. So I had two sisters, Jenny, my older sister, and then her younger sister, Carrie. And Carrie lives not too far from East Durham. So she came and it was great. And then she watched. She doesn't really get to see me do this kind of stuff. So that was really fun. And then we had arranged that I wasn't going to stay at the Blackthorn. I was going to come stay at her house and kind of debrief. And that was really, really special. But so she hung out for a little bit. She walked around and then she left. And then I went back to the booth with the boys, John, Ariani, and Cliff, and Jesse and Carrie. And we were forging. I forged some knives, which was fun. And the cool thing is like, I don't have any hydraulic presses. I've never really had experience with hydraulic presses. When I was at the Center for Metal Arts back in the day, we were only using power hammers. So my experience with forging with machines is always power hammers. It's never presses. I have no experience until I met John and Cliff, and they made these incredible presses, and I just never really I never had any experience, and the only time I ever use a press is when I'm with John and Cliff. And so every time they bring one up, I get to, you know, learn a little bit more, and it's a slow process. And, you know, people say, you should just get one. And I'm like, I don't really have any interest right now. I mean, I don't have time to play too much. And if I were to play, it probably wouldn't be with metal. It would probably be something else, make sculpture, something like that, with wood or something. But it's always great to be with them. So I finished a K-tip that I normally make, that I needed to make. I got a message from the office saying we needed a couple more K-tips. And then I used their dies to make some kind of ridges in a shorter knife. And then we made a goddamn Bob Menard from New England blacksmiths gave me a piece of 1075. 1075 or 1078. I think it was 1078 hex bar. So we made a goddamn sword. I never made a sword before. I never forged a sword before. I thought, we got the press. Why not? These dudes, John and Cliff, do this I-beam style handle, which is really, really cool. So they were showing me how to use the different dies to kind of create this I-beam structure, which was really, really cool. And we made this big sword, and we're talking about it. And John Ariani, Sunset Forge, is like heckling the whole time, which is really great. He's just so goddamn funny. And somebody says, "What is he making?" And he goes, "That's the Hawk Tuna. That's the Hawk Tuna knife, the Hawk Tuna sword." And then all night long, it's a Hawk Tuna. So we made a Hawk Tuna sword. And then I ended up leaving, and then I went to my sister's place. So my sister lives about half an hour from the Blackthorn, and I came to the house, and dog was chilling, and the music was on, and she made me this beautiful dinner, and we just had such a great time. And it really, that was the first time we were able to kind of debrief in face to face since our sister Jenny died. And it was amazing, and it was really like we kind of covered so much ground, and we talked about Jenny, and we talked about our time with her and stuff like that. And it was really, we talked about my daughter a lot. My daughter's having a hard time with my sister's passing. We're talking, and she's also far away. So the whole thing's on the tough side. But at the same time, we're very grateful. Carrie and I had a really nice conversation about our lives together with her, and we talked about Jill a lot, and we just kind of recapped, and it was really, really nice. It was a really nice dinner. She made me a real nice dinner, made some beautiful soup and salad, and she had some things, and we just had some laughs. And then the next morning I woke up early, and she was up early making coffee for me, and we had another not really nice conversation about Lila, and it was really, really great. And I'm really, really grateful for the relationship I have with my sister Carrie. And, it's weird. You know, when I was a kid, sometimes I still see her like I'm a little kid, but now I'm 51. And it's really, I'm really grateful for the fact that we were able to, even with kind of a tumult, we had both had kind of a tumultuous time with our parents. My dad was married to their mother, and then my dad was married to my mother. And we always kind of like talk about the similarities in regards to, you know, the relationship between the parents and the kids, which is always kind of tough. But I'm very grateful for the fact that, you know, there were some times where there's a very good chance that we would never talk, you know. And the fact that we're able to kind of like talk about our family and we're making arrangements. She's going to come for Thanksgiving and Jill's going to come for Thanksgiving. And we're just going to have a very kind of a loving moment. And I'm really appreciative of that. Once again, I was surprised at how many people, you know, especially at Maker Camp, who listened to this podcast, who talked to me about what that episode about Jenny meant. It's hard for me to like talk to someone face to face about that, except for just being appreciative. I'm really appreciative of all the nice, kind things that people have done. And it was great. Maker Camp was great. The second day was great. I forged some more. I did a second demo. The first day Total Boat, I glued up a handle scales, and then the second day grounded up and kind of talked about it, and people really liked it. So they're psyched. We're going to do some more things with Total Boat. We'll see what happens. I got the invitation to Kona, Rhode Island. So, you know, we never know. We'll come up and, you know, we'll see what's up over there. But they got they answered a lot of questions that I had about the Total Boat products, and we kind of like workshop some things that, you know, that I was dealing with. But they made a lot of sense, and it was really nice, and they're great people. So I'm very grateful for all the, you know, support that they've given me, and they gave me so much goddamn epoxy. I got epoxy up to my back teeth. I got enough Total Boat to last me a while. So I'm very, very appreciative of that. Came home last night dead. And then came in this morning and worked on some things. I tuned up my Broadbeck. I got some new parts to kind of work out, which was great. I was on the phone with Ryan. I was on the phone with Ben, and really appreciated that. And what it brings me to is I got as of now, when this comes out on Friday, I'll have around just about 2 weeks until the New York City Marathon. And let me tell you something. Now I'm getting into the I'm scared shitless part of the New York City Marathon. I'm getting into the I'm scared shitless. I'm being jokey. At Maker Camp, every 5 minutes, people saying, Are you running today? And I admit the only days I've missed for running is I missed the Saturday that I was teaching at the Center for Mental Arts, and I was supposed to do a 14-mile run based on I'm doing the Hal Higdon. If you're a runner and you're looking to get into running, Hal Higdon he's been training people to do 5Ks and 10Ks and half marathons and marathons for years, and his system of training has just been unbelievable. And I used it, and they'll give you like an 18-week or 19-week system to kind of build you up and then taper you down. So the way it normally works is Tuesdays, Mondays you get a day off, Tuesdays you have a short run, Wednesdays you have a longer run, Thursday you have a shorter run, and then Saturday you have a long run. So that's how it works. So then you have a rest day Monday and Friday, and then Sunday. Sunday they want you to do a little cardio, some cardio. I walk the dogs and kind of just keep moving, but I'm not, that's about it. So since I've started this whole thing, I've been really very dedicated. And part of me knows, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I get messages from people to say, oh, he's going to talk about discipline again. I don't think you understand how blacksmithing, the philosophy of blacksmithing has changed my life. And it's always about blacksmithing is about being organized. And it's something, the philosophy is like, you can flop around and you can fuck around with a piece of steel and an anvil and just like, you know, slap things around. But if you really are trying to get something across, you have to be very, very organized in terms of your decision making. And there's only one way to go, and that's being organized. And it took me a number of years, and about a while ago, I realized if I'm organized for events, I always do better. Like, perfect example. A number of years ago, I got reached out by Stone Barns, Blue Hill Stone Barns, a very famous restaurant, and they asked me to speak to the chefs. Like, I guess they have people come in during lunch, and then they talk to all the chefs during, like, family meal or something like that. And they asked me to do it. And they wanted me to put together like 25 minutes. So I was just like, great. And then I thought to myself, well, should I wing or should I prepare? And I thought, you know what? I always do better when I'm prepared. So I really spent a lot of time preparing what I was going to say and what I was going to kind of like point out and how I'm going to kind of keep people's attention and how we're going to figure this out. And it was a success. It was really a success. And that was like the clip. That was the final nail in the coffin to say, don't wing it. Winging it sucks. And even to the point where this past weekend with the Total Boat, I had never done a demo. I didn't know what to expect. And I came up with the demo, which was to kind of like talk about making scales with Total Boat and then how I cut them up and then what I look for and the reasoning behind what I do. And I really focus on trying to make sure that it was very coherent and understandable and interesting. And I really prepared. And that's always been the case where the times I'm prepared and not winging it are the times that we always go well. And to the extent of like when we do Knife Talk, if you listen to Knife Talk, either we always have questions, we have feedback, sometimes we'll have something weird, something, but I kind of put everything in, you know, order. So we have the ability and organized in a fashion that we can kind of play it by ear. Like the boys don't have to show up. Mareko and Craig just show up. They don't have to do shit. And they will tell you they don't have to do shit. They just show up. I mean, they obviously know what they're talking about. Both of them know what they're talking about, but they don't have to like, they don't have to do any show prep at all. I mean, it'd be nice if they had a story or two, but there's no, I've given them everything they need. And this is the way the podcast has been successful to us for the past 8 years. Even to today, I was going to blow it off. I was going to blow the podcast off. I'm tired. And I'm going to tell you why I'm tired. I'm tired. And then I thought to myself, I had so many people come up to me at Maker Camp just saying what the podcast means. And I was like, I can't do it. I'll do a little recap of what's going on. But back to the running, you know, if I follow the times that I followed the instructions are the times I do well. A funny story is when I was a kid, I had, it was the summer. I was getting too old for summer camp and I was a CIT at the summer camp. And, I guess it was my junior year. And my dad was just like, you're not going to summer camp anymore. I was like, yeah, but I'm going to be a CIT. He's like, no, you can do something else. And something happened where they were telling me about my dad and his wife were telling me about, Outward Bound. Is this, I probably have heard of it. It's like kind of like it's almost like a voyage. It's like a few weeks or it could be as, you know, long trips or short trips. And my dad's wife was telling me how tough the Outward Bound she did was. It was like some fucking couple days. And I don't know what happened and something was said and I was just like, they were ready to send me to Outward Bound. And they said, well, which one do you want? And I said, give me the hardest one they have. Give me the hardest one they have. I ain't going to get shown up here. Give me the hardest one they have. So I found this one that was 30 days. And now I think I'm 16. 30 days in the San Juans of like Colorado. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one. That's the one for me. It was 30 days. It was 30 days in the San Juans. And I did it out of spite because there was some joke maybe that I didn't have it in me, you know? I'm like, fuck you. You take your 7-day trip and you shove it up your ass. I'm going to fucking 30 days in the fucking Alpines, bitch. And I remember when they lied. Okay, you want it, you got it. It wasn't going to be like summer camp anymore. And I remember that they gave us this list. We're going to finish this show talking about this mental 30-day trip in the San Juans. And so they give us this list of how to prepare because it is a lot. You know, when you do Outward Bound, a lot of them are very intense. They were like meant for like voyagers and like this is not like a hike through the woods. This is like you pack your bags, you pack your food out and you don't go to the base. You're away from base camp for like 10 days straight. It's fucking crazy. For me, it was crazy, you know, and then they make you do a 3-day solo with no food. I'll talk about that. So they sent us this list of things how we need to prepare, and it was the clothing and the special kind of layering and all this stuff, the checklist of all the things you need. But then they talk about the training. And they talk about the training, and it's like, you got to run at least a mile a day, like 3 days a week. I'm like, okay, that's, I'm just going to do it. I hated running. This is when I was 16. And then there, we, I just would run in the in Central Park, the reservoir. And I remember doing it thinking like, I'm going to get this, these, I can't fail. I have to do this trip. I have to be successful. And I got, I'm doing that out of spite, ladies and gentlemen. I'm doing this goddamn trip out of spite. This woman can't show me up with a 7 day trip in the 30 days. And I was running and running and running and running. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to show up there and it's going to be a bunch of fucking alpine guys from Sweden and Switzerland, all these dudes who are like real alpine dudes. And this is going to be, it was like, it was considered, it was not a beginner trip or intermediate. This was like the most advanced trip they had. And I'm up trained. So I did the running and I'll never forget. It was the first time I ever flew by myself. This is after... Here's a deep cut. When I was younger, a couple years earlier, I was in the, I was trying out for, I was, my sister Jenny and Kara and Jill got me to audition for Blue Lagoon 2, the movie Blue Lagoon 2. It was the second Blue Lagoon. The first Blue Lagoon was with, the famous Blue Lagoon with Brooke Shields. And the second one was Mila Jovovich, and it would have been young Jeff. I didn't have an agent. I was so close, and it would have been like, me and Mila Jovovich, who's fantastic. She's unbelievable. She was in The Fifth Element. She's just like, you know who Mila Jovovich. It was going to be me and her. We're going to be making out in the Fiji Islands under a waterfall. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I was ready. And I was so ready. I didn't get it. I didn't have an agent. My acting was sucked. I was just in like, you know, school plays. I didn't know how to act. Didn't get it. Get on the plane for Boulder. We're flying into Boulder to get ready for the San Juans, and I get a newspaper to read. Look how old I am, 16. I'm reading a fucking newspaper, and I see in the newspaper the review for Blue Lagoon 2, and I'm like, oh, this is the movie I was almost gonna be in. And the review said this. I'll never forget. Blue Lagoon 2, the only thing worth watching is the fauna. Is the fauna. The plants are better actors than the people. Can you imagine? Oh my God, I would have destroyed me. If I was in Blue Lagoon 2 and I said the only thing in the articles in the review said the only thing worth a damn in this movie is the acting of the plants, your boy's going to have some major therapy. Major therapy. I would not have been able to handle it. So I'm on the plane. I'm reading this. I'm like, whew. Man, am I lucky I dodged a bullet on that. It would have been worth it. If I'm fooling around with Mila Jovovich under a waterfall in Fiji Islands for a summer, it would have been worth it. But then you get to the point where you're on the plane to Colorado and you're looking at the reviews and you're just like, my life is meaningless now. I'm done. I get to the cab. I've never been on a plane by myself before. Land, and I won't go into it, but no one dropped me off. No one picked me up. That's for another story. I get to the hotel, find my hotel room. Next morning, it was just a meet in the lobby. And it's just a bunch of crazy kids. And I'm like, I'm looking at all these people and they're big kids, they're small kids, they're thin kids, they're fat kids. It's just like, it's just a real smattering of humanity. And all of a sudden, I'm getting on the bus and some of these kids are kind of on the tough side. Well, it turns out a lot of kids who go to Outward Bound are like juvenile delinquents. I don't know if you know this or not. Some of it isn't just like rich kids going on a hike. Some of these people are sponsored by like churches. Some of these people are like sponsored by like juvenile delinquent thing situations. So all of a sudden, your hero, young hero, who could have been with Mila Jovovich, but is now on a bus with a bunch of fucking juvenile delinquents. And I'm talking to these people and they're rowdy on the bus. And I'm just like, what have I gotten myself into? Have I gotten myself into some sort of, you know, chain gang or something for the next 30 days? I'm talking to this girl next to me and we're just making chit chat and everyone's from all over the country And they're all, and these kids are a little bit like subversive, but you know that feeling when you're on a, I mean, you have to bring yourself back to when you're in high school and then you're on, maybe on a bus with people that you don't know. And you just know, maybe it's the first high school you've been to. Maybe it's a new school you've been to. And you know that there's a jocularity and there's this kind of sense of, just the slightest bit of fear that some of these kids are not only subversive, but could be a little bit more. I had that feeling. I was just like, bro, I was expecting some like fucking alpine hikers. I was preparing for some dudes in like lederhosen. I was looking for some real alpine dudes, Scandinavians. I was looking for outdoor people who were looking to test themselves. Now I'm in like the Bad News Bears, right? So I'm seeing these fat kids. I'm just going, all these monsters going to go around for 30 days, you know? And all of a sudden I'm talking to this girl and I was like, did you train for this thing at all? She's like, train? What do you mean train? I'm like, oh, they told you you're supposed to run every so often. She goes, well, I water skied once. And I'm like, oh my God, you're fucking. And I didn't say anything. I'm just like, oh, she's in big trouble. The instructions were to run. And I was doing the running. She's doing a water skiing once in a while. Shout out to water skiing. I know it's not easy, but you can hike up a mountain with all the training is going to be water skiing. You know what I'm saying? And I remember we got to the place and they drove us to where the trailhead was. And it was a few buses and they got us all squared away. And we went to a base camp where they kind of explain what we're going to do and breaking up into teams. And they had these garbage bags, garbage cans. The garbage cans were filled with food and we were going to break up into teams. And then they were going to go through our bags and just make sure some of the stuff was going to stay. Some of the stuff was frivolous. There were some people you were supposed to get leather hiking boots. And some dude just showed up in their fucking Converse sneakers. And the guys were just like, you're going to be in big trouble. And this is going to be really hard. And this is, you know, there was a lot of people who weren't prepared. And they kind of went through our bags and kind of took a lot of stuff out because some of the stuff was totally frivolous to the hiking. And then we would break up into teams and then they would they'd have menus that we could figure out what we wanted for 10 days at a time. And then we would have to pack the food accordingly. And then you pack the food based on what's going to go bad and then what's going to go okay. And it was like, it was intense. And we never saw, once we left the hotel, we never saw a shelter. At all. All we saw was put us in a field with garbage cans. We had to unpack our stuff and then all the extra stuff we put into bags and then we would leave with them and then we broke up into groups of I think like 13 or something. And then I was the bigger guy and it was a little bit more, I don't know why I was the bigger guy, I guess. They gave me the medical kit, and they called me Doc. I thought that was super cool. All of a sudden, I have a new nickname that I like. I had nicknames throughout, and I'm not going into it, but I had nicknames growing up that I fucking hated, and now all of a sudden, they call me Doc. Hey, Doc, hey, you got a band-aid. Hey, you got some moleskin, Doc. Hey, Doc, bring over the aspirin. Bring over the Tylenol, Doc. I don't want to make a joke, but I'm not going to make a joke. And I thought it was so cool, but at the same time, it wasn't that cool because, like, the people carried the food. As we ate the food, their packs got lighter. My pack never got lighter. I was fucking the Doc for the whole goddamn time, and my bag never got lighter. And there were we were doing these 10-day excursions, and we were hiking 10 miles a day, but we were doing at least, and then we were doing, like, alpine mountaineering. We weren't really, like, it was alpine areas. And it was crazy. And it was like all these people are like, half of them are real delinquents. And there were these moments. There was one moment where we did the 10 days and we were hiking and we were in the San Juans and it was beautiful. There were some times and to sleep in, we had this one giant tarp and we would get sticks and we would make this giant lean-to and we'd all get into the lean, not a lean-to, like one tarp. And we'd all get in under there and it was like, it was weird. But at the same time, it was amazing. And there were some spots that we were staying at that it was just incredible. The views were unbelievable. And there were no trees. And it was all grass and alpines and the alpine area. And it was beautiful. And there were these glacial lakes. And that was unbelievable. I wish I had a camera with all that stuff because it really was special. And then we would start to slowly become, you know, break up into our own groups. as a team of four, a team of 12, we would, you know, all of a sudden we would stay in a little tents together. And apparently I was in this tent with this boy and this girl, and I didn't realize they were having sex like right next to me, which I didn't find out until later. They were like, well, you're awesome tent mate, because you sleep so soundly. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you didn't hear us like having sex? And I was like, are you fucking crazy? This is not what I signed up for. But the whole thing was crazy. I was expecting, like, you know, I was going to be hiking with like the Army Rangers. Meanwhile, I'm hiking with a bunch of sexually deviant, not deviant, I'm sexually crazed juvenile delinquents who water skied. And it was ridiculous. Here I am thinking, you know, how important it is to go. And I'll tell you the craziest, I didn't realize I was going to go down this road, but I ain't going down this road. Howard Bound is great. But what they let you know, too, is that you have to do a three-day solo where they'll find this area. So we were 30 days out. We were doing 10 miles a day. So we were doing like, I mean, we were putting in 10 miles. There were maybe a day off where we'd only have to do 3 miles, but it was like kind of crazy. And the kids were a little bit tough, and some of the girls and the boys were complaining a lot, and maybe they didn't like to cook, and maybe they didn't like to walk so much, and they were really, really kind of like, there was a lot of fighting and stuff like that, not physical fighting. But then what they did was they broke us up. This is before gave us a solo. So our group found this lake or this river, and then they would put us up in different spots on the river so we couldn't talk to each other. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. We weren't given any food. The only food we could have some raisins, some peanuts, and some fucking crackers. And then they suggested that we don't eat anything, that we just fast the whole time. So 3 days, and they don't give you anything. They don't give you anything to read. They don't want you to bring anything to read. They want you to just like be in this particular area by a river, and they give you special tablets so you don't get fucking beaver fever. You know what beaver fever? It's Giardia. That's from like beaver doo-doo that has like fucking protozoas in there. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're like, you know, you're at the fucking, you're giving it to it out the side. You know what I'm saying? You got your butt out the back of the tent. You're blowing it all out. Beaver fever. Don't get the beaver fever, whatever you do. God damn, don't get beaver fever. Everybody's got blisters. So they put us in this area, and what are we supposed to do? I don't know what the hell we're supposed to do. So I snuck a book, because I'm thinking to myself, they don't give you a watch. They don't let you make a fire. They let you give you candles at night, and that's it. But it was like, did I have candles or a flashlight? I think I had a candle. I think they gave us candles. They must have given it. No, I had a flashlight because I did go on little sorties against the rules. I brought a book because I'm just like, fucking 3 days? I mean, how much time do I have? I did some drawings, and the drawings were terrible. I was trying to do some sculpture-y kind of stuff, but nothing was happening. And they didn't really want us to go far because they were afraid of losing us. And, you know, the counselors or whoever's running it, they're terrified because you have these, you know, 13, you know, not, some of them are not the most, you know, reliable people. Some of them are juvenile delinquents, so you can never truly tell if they're going to stay in one spot. And 3 days in one spot is kind of like a lot. And I just remember waking up and just trying to figure out where the sun was. And then I felt like I needed to burn time, and I was waiting for the sun to go past this one branch before I'd get up, and I was so fucking bored. And then you get hungry, and then all of a sudden you pull out the peanuts, and then you're rationing the peanuts and the raisins and the crackers, and it's like it is just madness. And I remember at night I would kind of walk up and down the, I had one of these flashlights. It was one of those green Army flashlights that's got like a 90 degree angle that you can clip it to your bag, I guess, and face forward. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, it looks like an L. So it goes up. It's like a military surplus. It looks like, you know, something like a G.I. Joe would have on his shirt. You know what I'm talking about? It was like one of them washed up G.I. Joe flashlights. And then it had different lenses, and you could put in a red lens, a regular lens, or you could put a blue lens in. Blue lens was moonlight. So I put the moonlight one up, and then I would kind of stalk up the stream to see if I could see some friends. And I felt like I was going to get in trouble. And I went and talked to somebody, and I thought they're going to be mad. They're going to be mad that I left. And I just went back to my thing. And I remember like cherishing this book. The book sucked so bad. And I just remember being like, please, please don't read it too fast because you have 3 days to burn. And I remember on the third day, they picked everybody up. We were so grateful. And then they had made this huge feast for us. And we sat and we gorged ourselves and barfed and, you know, it was madness. And then the last thing they did is they brought us all back to the main base camp for the first time after being out on the mountains for 25 days or something, 20 days or something like that. And then they had, what they did is they broke us up based on skill, like, you know, who can handle what. And they gave us these crazy tasks. So they gave us a certain amount of days to grab these particular flags in these different areas that they hid. It was about map reading and camping. And they broke us up into groups of people that we didn't know each other. But they had made assessments on who's what and, you know, who's good at what. And they put me in with this group of dudes. And these dudes were like way more intense than the guys I was with in the beginning. And when I say intense, I think that they were all, you know, Robert F. Kennedy might say their parents did some fucking Tylenol. They were also extra crazed, extra antisocial, and extra one dude was like armed with a knife. And I will never forget, we were taking turns, and there was a couple of the guys I got along with, but this group of four, we had to know each other. We had to use all the tricks that we learned over the last 25 days to reach these goals and grab these flags, and then we would come back after 4 days, had to, you know, work together as strangers and stuff like that. And there's this one dude I'll never fucking forget. So we would have the cooking, the camping cooking was fun because you had an opportunity. You had a whole book on menus and recipes, and then you had the opportunity to just like, well, I'm looking at if we bring flour, and then if we bring dried fruit, we could make some, we could take the dried fruit the night before and then soak the dried fruit, and we could make like a syrup for the fucking pancakes. Let's do that. So we were kind of like figuring things out and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, everyone had a chance to cook. And this one fucking asshole kid was in charge of making the dinner. It was going to be spaghetti. Spaghetti with, I don't know, it was probably like fake meat sauce or something like that. But I just remember being like, every time we would come for dinner time on this 27 days, we were just so grateful to eat. I mean, all we wanted, you know, the lunches were fucking bullshit. It was like, here, have some peanut butter and a cracker for lunch. Or, you know, it wasn't like filling, right? But the dinners were, it was going to be hot and it was going to be delicious. It might not have been delicious, but it would be like hot and good. And this fucking dude that we didn't know, who was extra weird, and everybody was wearing shorts because it was, you know, you got used to wearing shorts because it was like when you're hiking. And this dude wore long pants, and he had this like, I'll never forget, he had this like weird necklace, this very strange necklace with this like pendant on it. And he was very quiet to himself, and he was in charge of making the dinner. I don't know how he figured that out. And he was time to make the pasta. He put the water in the pot, and he put the pasta in the cold water and turned on the fire. And we're like, I don't think you're supposed to do it like that. He goes, that's how I make pasta. And we're like, you're not supposed to put the pasta in cold. And he goes, that's how I make pasta. And he got fucking mad. And then he basically fucked it up. I mean, he ruined it. He made it like a block. It all stuck together. It was a block of spaghetti. We were all really tired. And the group was going way more than 10 miles a clip because we were much faster and we were a smaller group. And there weren't people complaining and stuff like that. And all we wanted to do was eat this fucking pasta. And one of the dudes who was with me, he was really like, he was a wiry guy. And he was, you know, like quick-witted and like I think he was wearing like a Pittsburgh Pirates baseball cap, or it was some obscure baseball cap. It was like obscure baseball team. And I always like that. I like the fact that very quick-witted, very funny, and also like not scared of anything. He was also not scared of other people. All these guys were not like me. I was just quiet and just do your job and just, you know, don't settle, you know, don't make anybody mad. And we're out here for a long time. And I'll never forget this guy just fucking lit the dude up. He's like, this, I've been hiking all day. I wanted some spaghetti. This is inedible. You made a block of fucking undercooked spaghetti. You fucked this whole thing up. And we've been waiting all goddamn day. You can imagine, if you're hiking 15 miles with a bunch of dudes and you have this specific task and one guy's being a little bit extra, just difficult. And then it's almost as if he had gone out of his way to fuck the dinner up. This dude, so the guy with the baseball cap, the Pirates cap, who was funny and cutting and like a little subversive, he was like, kind of like, almost like, all I could think of is like, Jay from Silent Bob and Jay. He wasn't like doing all the like the street stuff, but he was like, you know, he had something to say, you know. And if you weren't on his bad side, if you were like favored, that was always a good situation. I remember him saying, "You fucked this dinner up. I wanted some spaghetti. We're hiking all goddamn day. We told you not to put the pasta in the cold water, and you did it anyway." And then this dude, the dude who did it, who was so fucking weird, started putting his hand on where he had a knife. We're in the middle of the goddamn San Juan. There's four of us, and he puts his hand on his knife, and he goes, "I just want you to know why I'm here on this trip. I'm real trouble. I'm real trouble. I got sent here because a judge and my pastor said I needed this because I've gotten in a lot of trouble in the town that I'm in." And he's stroking this knife, and he's just like, because I've hurt people. I've hurt people real bad. And I'm just like trying to fucking chill this shit, hold this shit. You're in the middle of nowhere on top of a mountain with this shithouse dinner that we're all pissed off about and a guy who's like looking for trouble. And I had to settle everybody. And we're out of food. We have a specific amount of food. There's no extra. You don't have extra food. And everyone's getting a little bit testy, and this dude's stroking this knife on the side. He's like, you know, I've made people go away. He started kind of like definitely trying to say things like he was a real problem. And part of me feels like it was, looking back at it now, that it was definitely bravado. But at the same time, it was like, you know, in my mind, I'm just like, bros, we have a long way to go. We don't have a lot of food. And I ended up saying, look, I packed. We were going to do, on the last day, we were going to do pancakes with like a dried fruit syrup. Let's dry the fruit tonight. I'll make you nice pancakes in the morning. Let's just eat what we got and then not worry about it. We got to move fast tomorrow. I'll wake up early and I'll make sure we all have nice breakfast in the morning. And I like chilled everybody out. And it was like really weird. And then the guy wouldn't sleep in the same tent with us. And he was just like staring off and stroking his knife. And we were just like, oh, it was like, it was a crisis averted. And then the next morning, everyone was a little pissed off and a little hungry. And I actually, this is one of the things that my dad taught me how to do when I was younger, was how to flip pancakes without a spatula. And when he moved into one of his apartments, he didn't have a spatula. He wanted me to do pancakes, and all of a sudden didn't have pancakes. And he showed me how to flip pancakes. So that morning I'm flipping pancakes on a spatula and showing everybody, and they're all laughing. And I took some dried fruit and I made this, this great syrup for the pancakes. So I kind of started us off. I have a problem. I want everybody to be happy. I'm a pleaser. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I remember just like kind of going out of my way to avoiding, you know, murder on the mountain. I don't want to alpine murder in my situation. We ended up getting past it. We were on to the next day, ate our fucking buckwheat pancakes, whatever the fuck they gave us with the fucking syrup. Everyone was happy. He didn't have to, we would not let him cook anymore. I think he appreciated it. And then we finished the whole thing off and we came down faster than most of the groups. We had the biggest task ahead of us and we made it happen. And I just remember how crazy it was, how fun it was, how terrified I was. And I remember being prepared. I remember being prepared, and I'll never forget, after it was 27 days, did I say 30 days in the San Juan, something like that, we get back on the bus. None of us have showered. None of us have, I mean, for a month, you know, we've all been taking shits in the woods, on the mountaintop. We had to get a dig a hole, you had to find a stump. They were giving us, showing us how to shit in them. And they were also talking about how we, I'll never forget, there's all this stuff. Like one guy, he looked at me and he goes, "Your lips are cracked. That means you haven't had enough to drink. How have your poops been?" And I'm like, don't ask me. Don't ask. I'm not talking to you. I don't even know who you is. And I remember we get on the bus. I don't think we didn't have a shower. They brought us back to the hotel, and on the way, I went into the bathroom on the bus, and I don't know what I was doing. And then all of a sudden I opened the door, and I realized the door is like being held closed. And one of these dudes had taken his foot and put it up against the door and said, "You're stuck in the shitter." And I was up to my back. At first, I'm like, oh my God, I'm with a bunch of juvenile delinquents. And then by the end, I'm like, I've had it with these juvenile delinquents. I cannot take any more of the juvenile delinquency. So I went back and I slammed the door open. I pushed it closed. I pushed him up against the side of the, by the window. I didn't touch him, but I said it. And I said, and I turned to him, I'm like, "I think you're stuck in the shitter." And I went back to my seat. And then I felt like I was like Arnold Schwarzenegger line. I felt fucking awesome. It was very fleeting. No one said anything. All the girls didn't hear me say it. I wasn't cool as I was expecting to be. And you know, that's just how it is. And then I remember they bought me beer underage because I deserved it. And we were in Colorado, and it was all 3-2 beer. All I wanted was a fucking beer, and it's all 3-2 beer. 3-2 beer is like, I don't know what's going on with some of these people where they're making less alcohol in it and stuff like that. So it's a lower dose of lower alcohol beer. And I had a 3-2 beer. I got on the plane, call home, and I went home. Hour Bound, baby. And I was prepared. I did not expect to talk about Hour Bound, but I'll tell you what, I was physically overprepared, and I was mentally unprepared. I was mentally unprepared for the depressing situation of some people who were, no one said to me, "Hey, I have a great idea. Why don't you spend the summer with some juvenile delinquents?" They made Outward Bound seem like it was going to be some sort of like amazing SEAL Team 6 situation. By the time you're done with this, you're going to be rappelling off of like skyscrapers. You're going to be a daredevil. This is going to be, it's almost like being as 16-year-old. This is better than being like a airborne ranger. You've done 30 days in the San Juans with Outward Bound. This is some serious shit. You didn't expect it to be, hey, enjoy your summer hanging out with some juvenile delinquents who are fucking mad, who are crazy. Fine. So that was a detour I was not expecting. Good old Outward Bound. I haven't done the Outward Bound stories. Those are fun. Yeah, that was crazy. I there's some pictures of me from Outward Bound. If I try to find them, there was me. There's a picture of me and the boy and the girl who were having sex, unbeknownst to me, right next to me in the tent, which I didn't appreciate. And I think he was afraid he had gotten her pregnant or gotten his STD. Those were two confidential things that I was kind of concerned about. But at the same time, I also knew I'm not going to have to deal with either one of you in too much longer. So I'm not going to get too dependent on this story. So back to the marathon. I've been really training hard. I've been up to date, except for I didn't do the 14 miles when I was at the Center for Mental Arts, because it's just like, I owe it to the students for me to not be a wreck. And then, because that's what happens. If I'm doing over 10 miles, I'm kind of shot for the day. Like I'm not very friendly and it ain't great. And then this past weekend at Maker Camp, I was supposed to do 20 miles, and obviously I'm not going to do that. So that was one thing. But the other thing was the weather has changed, and it's much colder. So I did 10 miles last week on Wednesday, and by the time I got to about a 9 and 3/4 miles, I was almost ready to pack it up. I felt this tightness in my calf, and I felt this weird tightness on my other leg, and I was just like, I should not hurt myself. So I stopped and I walked back, and then the next morning I was supposed to do 5 miles, and I had this tightness on the inside of my leg that I was like, it's not worth hurting yourself. So I took a couple of days off, and now I've missed 2 long runs, my longest run, which was 20. I'd done 18 2 weeks ago, and I felt good. I felt like I could do it again. I got to run tomorrow. Now what's happening is the taper down. I got 2 more weeks. So now they're tapering me down in mileage. I'm going to be doing 5, 8, and 5, and then I'm going to run 12 on Saturday, and then the next week it's less, and I'm hoping I'm going to feel good. I'll be honest with you, I am slightly concerned. My job is to not, you look for a pace, but you know that in my mind, I really want to be comfortable running. Last time I was in excruciating pain halfway through, and I'm really trying to avoid that. I've gotten my third pair of sneakers, which I think have been a huge difference. I got these different style of sneakers that they watched my gait and they gave me some suggestions, and I put a lot of miles on these Saucony's, ladies and gentlemen, old school. And I'm getting all my nutrition squared away, and I know the last 2 weeks I haven't been like as runny as I normally am, but just because of Acre Camp and the CMA, and I'm getting ready. I'm going to be going down to New York to get my bib pretty soon for New York City Marathon. Then I'm going to stay with my friend Eric, and then we're going to go. And then I'm going to do a little bit more. And I'm probably going to do like a whole recap of the New York City Marathon afterwards. So I got 2 more weeks, and I'll see how I feel. I'll have a better idea how I feel by next week. It all depends on how I haven't run since Friday. This is Thursday and this is Monday. So I took a few days off, more than I ever have. So we'll see. We will see. Thanks to you, I have reached my goal, and I'm really proud of that. Thanks to you, I reached the goal, and I'm now past $5,000. I'm almost at $6,000. Feel free. If you want, go to Full Blast Podcast on Instagram, and you can. There's a link in the bio where you can donate to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Yeah, man, listen, get me to $6,000. What's the big deal? One message of note, I didn't want to have to say this, but I am going to say this. Is there somebody who's sending me things anonymously in the mail? I think I know who it is, and I would like you to stop. And it's not because I don't appreciate it. It's because I don't want things. I don't want things. I want less things. So if you're very kind, but I don't want things sent. Don't, if you know my address, do not send me anything. If you know, I'm telling you this with peace and love. I will not thank you, and that's number one. Number two, I will not appreciate it. And number three, I'm good. I'm good. I just want, if you want to support me, I'll tell you how you can support me. You can support the race, or you can support Fader Knives, buy a t-shirt, buy a knife, buy anything. But sending me things however, it is very nice, and I'm sure you appreciate it. You're very kind about it. Don't send me anything. I'm now at the point where I don't appreciate it. I don't want anonymous things sent to me. Thank you. I'm sorry for saying it, but I feel like I've said this enough. You're very kind. You don't owe me anything. If you want to support me, buy something from Fader Knives or support the race, and that is it. That's the only way I will thank you. Otherwise, you're throwing your money in the garbage, because I don't want it. I don't want it. But listen. But other than that, I'm basically saying don't waste your money on stuff that I don't want. That's really what it comes down to. Because some of this stuff, I just don't want it. I don't need it. I appreciate the idea behind it, but I'm begging you to stop, because it's just not what I want. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a delinquent. Don't be a delinquent, ladies and gentlemen. But otherwise, it has been an exhausting month. It has been emotionally and physically. But I am appreciative of everything that you, the listener, have done, except for sending me things anonymously. Don't do that anymore. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the support of for the marathon. I appreciate the support of going to a Maker Camp and coming up to me or going to Maker Camp and being involved with Maker Camp. I appreciate the hell out of you for going to the Center for Metal Arts and taking a class there. It doesn't have to be my class, any class. One last thing I want to say about Maker Camp is what I love about Maker Camp is it's an opportunity for people to do something positive in a creative way. You're exposed to things that you might not be exposed to otherwise, and it gives you the opportunity to find something that you could love. And I think that's great. And I think that's what it should be. And it shouldn't necessarily be about Maker Camp might not be finding a career, but it could be find something, a way to express yourself in a very positive way. And I think that is one of the great takeaways of Maker Camp. You meet new friends, you meet old friends, you create this idea, but you're exposed to things that you might not be able normally be exposed to. You're talking to people who speak your language, and ultimately it's a great vibe, okay? So with that said, many thanks to Maker Camp. Austin, guys did a great job. Many thanks to Total Boat. It was great seeing the guys at Spence and Even Heat. Great seeing Ryan Broadback. It was great seeing the Total Boat guys, all our sponsors. And listen, we're getting there, guys. We're in October, baby. We're almost in November. And when November hits, Sunday, November 2nd or 1st or 2nd, I'm going to be in the New York City Marathon on the Verrazano Bridge. And I'll tell you all about it. So we'll see you next week. Thank you so much. I appreciate the hell out of you. Craig, take it away.